Unofficial Rosie, a four-part series set in Liverpool by Alan MacDonald, with Paula Wilcox as Rosie Monaghan. Number 3, The Frontman.
You don't think, dear? Well, I don't. I was watching the telly with the sound off. Makes much more sense that way. When I heard... Oof, those kids from Corder Street, and I was off. Oof! I should have been thinking, though, about where the next job was coming from to pay off the Building Society arrears. Or where the next bit of zippity-doo-dah was coming from. Or, instead, there I was.
Come on! Come on, I know you're out there!
Come and get us, Mrs.
Hey! I'll be speaking to your mother about you! Hey! Come back here!
You don't think, do you? Well, I didn't. There was no other idiot out on the street. Just me. And a thousand shadows that might have been. Except when I got round the corner, there was no sign of them. Just a window broken in Singh's shop again.
Mrs. Monaghan, did you see that?
Oh, not well enough.
I think I know who it is, but...
Evening, Mr. Singh.
Oh. Rosie.
Gricey.
They've never done your window again, have they?
Oh, no, Gricey. It just sort of spontaneously exploded.
Didn't I tell you, Mr. Singh, that you ought to get those metal shutters? I know a very good supplier.
If there's one person worse than a young vandal to meet on the streets at night, it's Greasy Gricewell, Mr. Neighbourhood Watch. Always limping up with a bit of helpful advice, just after the criminals have fled. Of course, when I was on the force...
Of course, when I was on the force, Mr. Singh, you still had your bobbies on the beat to deal with this kind of thing.
And you could buy 10 woodbines and still get change from half a crown. He's making this up, actually. When he was on the force, it was all Z cars and BD to Z Victor 1, wasn't it? Oh, I used to love that, Z cars. On the old black and white telly. They'd have sorted out the vandals, Bert Lynch and John Watt and them. And maybe things just looked more, well, black and white to you then, Rosie. I didn't sleep well after that, thinking about black and white. Why is it that whenever I don't sleep well, breakfast is so gloriously peaceful?
I can look after myself, Mum, really, you can?
Carol, I'm trying to concentrate on the morning mail.
It's just a red one, Mum. We don't pay on that.
Thank you, Mr. Accountant.
Loads of girls my age go to school on their own. Really, they do.
Just because loads of girls do.
I won't be on my own. I'll be with Nim.
Nim?
You know, Nim Al from the shop.
Oh, and what do Nim's Mum and Dad have to say about this proposed arrangement?
Oh, they... Say it's fine.
Yeah, well, I think I'll have a word with Mrs. Singh all the same.
She's not called Mrs. Singh.
Why not? Everyone calls them the Singhies.
Especially those mates of yours that spray packy all over the window.
Hey, Veggie, they're no mates of mine.
Look, it's hard.
Hey, I still want to know why we shouldn't call Mrs. Singh Mrs. Singh.
Because that's what men Sikhs are called, Singh. It means lion. Nim gave a talk to our class all about it, you see. Lady Sikhs are called Kaur.
Cool.
It means Princess cool. Meathead.
Cool.
It's cool. So they're all equal, you see. They all cool. Have the same name.
Bob, have a bit cool. More of your bacon.
Mum, he's flicked some of his horrible animal fat onto me plate.
Never.
Oh, Bob, stop it. Carol, eat your cereal. Now, whatever Nim's mum's called...
Mrs. Cadore with a H.
I'm going to have a chat to Mrs. Cadore with a H before I agree to this arrangement or not, as the case may be.
Ah, Mum.
Across from the Cadore shop, there was a gang of kids watching the new metal shutters go up over the shop window. I recognised one of them, Billy Laverty from up our street. And the leader was this thin lad with red hair. And I thought, haven't I seen him on a milk float? And was it him last night?
Hey, shouldn't you be at school?
Shouldn't you be in an old people's home?
Milky, is that what they call you?
Smart ass, is that what they call you?
Oh, nice company you're keeping, Billy Laverty. I'll be having a word with your mother later.
Ooh, we're all shaking in our boots.
Hey, shut it, Dad. Sorry, Mrs. Monaghan.
Sorry, Mrs. Monaghan.
Kids today, they've just got no respect, have they? Rosie, you are starting to sound like Greasy Gricewell yourself. Oh. Talk of the devil.
All right, Mrs. Monaghan.
Greasy Gricewell. Mr. Neighbourhood Watch with a payoff from the building firm.
Nice new shutters, eh?
Oh, I do not like them.
Huh? You sell things, you want people to see the merchandise.
But BK, you know, my husband, he says because of the vandals we must...
You should let me know if you want any help finding out who's doing it. It's my job, you know.
You are in the police?
No, no, freelance. I've got a card here somewhere. There you go.
Oh, private detective. Hey, maybe you should put this in the window. Get some business.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Anyway, I really wanted to ask you. My Carol says she wants to go to school with your name and that it's all right by you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's funny?
My name. She says she wishes to go to school with your Carol and it's all right by you.
Oh, those little devils. Just wait till I get home.
All the same. Maybe it's okay.
What? Did they lie to us?
No. But I think maybe we are being overprotective. When I was 8... I walked with my sister over the hills to school.
Oh, right. Was that in the, it's the Punjab, isn't it, where you're from?
No, Rochdale. I came from the Punjab when I was 7. Went to school in Rochdale.
I'm sorry.
Oh, why be sorry? So I think maybe we say to the girls 1 month's trial. Make sure they come straight home. What do you think?
Yeah, all right then. Once I've given Carol a good roasting for lying to me.
Mrs. Monaghan, you wish to put the card in the window?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
That will be £2. 4 weeks, 50 pence a week, okay?
Right. Could I put it on the tab for now, though?
She's always got one eye on business, hasn't she, Mrs. Cadour? And what about you, Rosie? Moaning about Greasy Gricewell's payoff, then trying to get a fee out of them yourself? Trouble was, I needed the money. And all Mike was offering me was...
Oh, Mike, I just hate delivering risk.
Almost as much as you hate not being able to pay the bills, right?
They're either out and nobody knows when they're in, or they're in and in a mood to knock me out. Debs, haven't we got a
note?
No lonely hearts wanting a check on Ansem of Ainsdale.
All quiet in Ainsdale.
Rosie, I know the writs are lousy work.
Well, why'd you give me them then?
But they're all I can offer you at the moment. I am sorry.
Oh, I am sorry too. But I'm never delivering another writ for you, and that is final.
Rosie Monaghan, a woman of her word. Except when there's bills to pay, and she finds herself eating her words, walking the mean streets with a yummy little writ in her hands. I got Martin to come with me, to deliver the writs. Because of the area, you know, top end of Granby Street.
Why can't Margie help you out today?
Oh, she's in Spain. Fortnight in Marbella.
Looking for summer.
Anyway, I'd rather have you with me. Round here, you know.
No, I don't, actually.
Well, it's the area, isn't it? Hey, I feel, you know, kind of conspicuous.
Conspicuously white, you mean?
Yeah, well, it's like I'm a stranger in my own city round here, you know.
Hey, hang on, Rosie. What exactly do you mean by that? Isn't this my city too?
Oh, Martin,
I mean, so how do you think I feel up the North End or downtown, down the shops where there's next to no black
people serving on? Martin, I take it back.
I feel like a stranger in my own city every day, and you've got the nerve to throw your prejudices
sorry,
at me
please,
by
I'm
telling
sorry.
Me, ah, deliver your own friggin' rick.
No, Martin, wait.
Had he got out of the wrong side of bed this morning, or had I? So I plucked up me courage, and all on me ownio, I knocked on the door of 16 Granby Mews to deliver me writ. And this big black guy of 50 or so, that's 50 chest, I mean, opened the door and reached out towards me and said...
Ah, yes. I was expecting this.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Sorry? For what?
To be the bringer of bad news sort of thing.
I've brought this upon myself. Why should you be sorry?
Why should I be sorry? 'Cause I owed Martin an apology, that's why. Streets round our way aren't any safer than round there, I suppose.
And why aren't our streets safe to walk through nowadays? Even in broad daylight? I'll tell you why.
Coming up because to election Lord time, yeah. Went to a meeting. Well, there was no work. And nothing on the telly. Only politicians. And why aren't our streets safe? According to Malcolm Gregson, prospective local councillor, we need more bobbies on the beat, sure sharp shocks, and...
Investment! That's what this area needs! Yeah. Years of socialism have run down the inner city! Yeah. What we need are entrepreneurs! Men with vision and money to spend!
Oh, very well! But what about the Negroes, the council of the housing in our street?
I'm very glad you asked me that question, sir.
I wasn't. I was ashamed. Walked out before he could answer. Sorry, Martin. Couldn't seem to get round to saying that. I knew it was important. But not half as important as what I owed the Building Society. Do you know, I was that desperate. I went round all the local shops, putting me card in the windows like I had in the Cadors. Anything must be better than writs, I thought. Business came flooding in. Why, only a fortnight later, Peggy Reese from the next street but one was at me door, saying,
"Did you lost catch, Rosie?"
"Well,
it'd just be for the reward, like 25 quid."
"I don't usually..."
"Only Bess is our Cheryl's favourite, and of course her brother Porgy misses or something awful."
"I didn't know Cheryl had a brother."
"Porgy's the cat's brother, Rosie. Are you listening to me?"
"Oh, right."
"And you hear these terrible tales, don't you, about what these kids get up to? Why, they found one poor cat roasted to death down Dunsinane Street only last week."
"Hey, maybe somebody fancied one with a few parsnips for Sunday dinner."
"What, Rosie, how can you?"
"Oh, just a joke, Peggy. Look, can you give me a description of the cat?"
"Well, she's kind of black all over, except she's got these white spots on her soft little tummy and..."
And that was the sum total of the business I got from shop windows. One lost cat. I said to myself, "Huh, you cannot stoop as low as that, Rosie." Trouble was, there weren't even any writs to whinge about. Thus it was that Rosie Monaghan, ace detective, found herself walking along back alleys singing, "Bess, you is my pussy now." Got a lot of looks. Caught Carol coming home from school, on her own.
"What are you doing here, ma'am?"
"I'm looking for a cat."
"We haven't got a cat."
"No, but, hey! The more important question is, what are you doing here?"
"Mummy, we're who?"
"On your own. Where's your friend Nim, then?"
"Oh, she's... I've already dropped her off the shop."
"Oh, yeah. Then doubled all the way back here."
"No,
you think..." "Carol, love, why are you walking home from school on your own?"
"Nim's dad's taking her now."
"Why's that?"
"Something to do with trouble at the shop, ma'am. Something horrible came through the letterbox or something. You know, T-U-R-D. Nim told us." "And after that, her dad
said..." "So why can't you come home with Nim's dad?"
"I have been, but Nim's not at school today. I don't know why. I thought you ought to sort it out, ma'am."
"Me? What do you mean?"
"Well, you're always supposed to be catching criminals and that, so why can't you do something about them getting T-U-R-Ds through the letterbox?"
"Carol, none of this changes the fact that you are not supposed to come home from school on your own."
"I know, but ma'am..."
"Was it?"
"No, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am. But why can't you do something about it?"
"I don't know. You bring kids up to have values, and what do? They expect you to have values too. Sickening, isn't it?" So after tea, I nipped round to the shop. And do you know what? You'll never believe it. I said as much to Jerry when he came round after chess club. I mean, closed. It's not been closed since Jesus was a lad. It's the original open all hours, it sings. I mean...
Cadors.
Yeah, that's right. How do you know?
BK's a chess player. Ooh. He wasn't there tonight, though. It's the first time I've ever known him miss.
Well, there was a light on through the back, but nobody came when I knocked. And I didn't like to go round to the alley. It's a bit creepy round there since they closed the school down. I'm not boring you, am I?
Oh, sorry, Rosie. Hard day at the office, you know. And then I had to keep my wits about me tonight. I played a brilliant Sicilian defence, although I say it myself.
Felt like yawning myself then. Wonder if we're a bit, well, bored with each other, me and Jerry. I mean, it's got so I don't even fancy a bit of...
Zippity-doo-dah.
Not tonight, eh, Jerry? I'm done for.
Oh. Well. I best have an early night.
Oddly enough, I perked up as soon as he went. Couldn't sleep. Brain whir. You know how you get sometimes? Thoughts spinning round like bingo numbers. Finally, I just got off when...
Mum. Mum. Wake up. Come on, Mum. If you must take me to school, you've got to be ready in 5 minutes or I'll be late.
What? I went round to the Cadors after breakfast. The shop was still shut. There was a handmade for sale sign hanging outside. For sale? I tried round the back. Oh, it's a right mess round there. Theirs is the only shop left standing where there used to be a row of them. Smell of cat's pee and the odd tube of glue lying around. The Cadors were in all right, but they didn't seem all that pleased to see me.
Go away! Go away!
Oh, I'm sorry if it's a bad time. So I just turned away, and I was thinking about investigating this meowing coming from somewhere when...
Oh, Mrs. Monaghan, I'm sorry. My husband
you're
thought you...
right, Mrs. Cador.
All right. All wrong, all wrong.
Oh, love shaken. What's up? Only Carol said Nim wasn't at school, and then the shop was closed.
I'm sorry, my husband is... upset. I'll take care.
Oh,
look, it's obviously a bad time.
No, no. Minu some down. Tita at me. Please, let us walk.
I didn't mean to butt in on anything.
It is not my husband's fault. Please, it's good to be out in the air. Let us walk.
How about a cup of tea or something?
Tea? Yes, tea.
So we went to Doris's cafe over the hairdressers. You know, Short and Curly's, alias Doris's daughter Margot. And I got us a pot of tea and...
Thank you. Thank you.
So, do you want to tell me about it?
Awful, awful tea.
Oh, yeah, well, Doris likes it strong, you see.
Awful things happen.
Hey, no.
I'm sorry, Mrs...
Rosie.
Rosie. Amita. Ami.
Ami.
Such awful things. We work hard to start again. We are educated people, you know. Me and BK. He was manager in a mill in Todd Morden. Then it closes down and we start again here with this shop. And this is what happens to us. Why, Rosie, why?
Well, what has happened exactly?
The kids. We can cope with the kids. Oh, they break things, they shout things. At night, terrible things. Pakis out, you know? Mm. And I want to tell them, I don't like Pakistanis either, you know?
But you said you can cope with them, the kids.
Oh, the people who have the shop before, Bangladeshis, they do have this problem. Kids. They do not tell this till after we buy, of course. But now this time, this is different. How are we going to cope with this?
So what is it that's made you put the shop up for sale?
Oh, made us. Yes, made us. A man made us.
What sort of man?
A man ashamed to show his face. He wears a... what do you call it? Wool over the mouth and nose?
Oh, balaclava.
Like a Greek cake, yes.
No.
This man, who is ashamed to show his face, he barges into the shop and locks the door. And from underneath his balaclava, he tells us we must sell our shop for a ridiculous price to a man he knows. Oh. Awful, awful tea.
Or what?
Hey?
What if you don't sell?
The man says terrible things will happen.
What? Worse than... stuff through the door.
How do you know about this?
Oh, I think Nim told Carol, and...
Oh, last night, not such filth, but rags soaked with petrol. BK chased after them. Kids, this man must be using them.
Oh, how horrible for you.
The worst thing was the note, wrapped around the rags. Mm. Next time, fire.
Oh... I still think you should go to the police.
I also think this, but BK, he has a bad time with the police. Way back, you understand? Mm. So he does not trust
them. Well, what about the community copper there, eh? What's his name?
Tomlinson.
Yeah.
BC Tomlinson, yes. BK trusts him, but he is off sick. I phoned. Stressed. Mm. They do not know when he will return. They do not know what we will do.
I really think the police...
Perhaps you can help us.
How do you mean?
Private detective, yes?
Well, yes, but...
Perhaps you can find the man who is doing this to us and stop him doing it. And then you will have, I don't know, free okra for life. What do you say, Rosie?
Oh, I still think you ought to go to the cops.
No, BK will have none of it. But he will trust you, I know it. So will you do it?
Baklava, the Greek cake. Not balaclava. I fancied one just then. Pastry and honey to take away the taste of the fear. Free okra for life. Not my usual terms. Well, finally we settled on a proper daily rate, and I went home to wonder why the hell I'd said yes. On the doormat there was a red telephone bill, and a big black letter from the Building Society to remind me. So I just talked myself round and decided to start with the kids up the street. When Mr. Cador came round.
My wife, she's been, how shall I say, a little too much in a hurry.
Yeah, but you are in a hurry, aren't you? I thought this fella had only given you till Thursday to agree to his terms.
No, I mean she should have consulted me before she employed you. I do not want you to do it.
Oh, you're going to go to the police after all, then? I told
no,
me...
No, police. No, what
but
I mean
really
is...
they really might be able to sort this one best, Mr. Cador.
I have asked Mr. Gricewell to keep an eye out for me, and I do not want any police.
Why not?
You know what the police did to me? You know what they did?
Well, no. Ami mentioned something, but she didn't...
They arrested me. I was driving innocently down the dock road and they stopped my car. Oh. Insult me, hit me, put me in a cell. Say I am dealing in drugs. Say I am a Muslim. Ugh. I tell them, Sikhs and Muslims are like your Irish Catholics and Protestants, only worse. Huh? But they don't listen. And do you know what it turns out?
No.
Mistaken identity. A Pakistani with the same make of car. So you see why I do not trust the police.
Yeah. But in that case, why don't you want me to have
this man who comes to our house is dangerous, Mrs. Monaghan. Very dangerous. Too dangerous for a woman, I think.
Hey, now, Mr. Cador, I've found being a detective much less dangerous than marriage so far.
Don't get me wrong. I wish someone could help us, but I do not wish to place my customer and neighbour in jeopardy.
Well, perhaps I could, put the word out.
The word?
I know a very good fella. Bullivant Security Services. I'll send him round, shall I?
He is a good man.
Oh, one of the best. Lot of experience.
Good. Good.
Lot of experience. Martin, who didn't yet know he'd become Bullivant Security Services. Experience of being a thinking bin man. Till he got made redundant for thinking too much. Now his experience is mostly doing his OU course in the library. I found him there. Deep breath, Rosie. You owe him an...
I owe you an apology, Rosie.
Hey, that's my line. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm sorry about what I said the other week. I got out of bed the wrong side that morning, you see.
Yeah, so had I. Don't worry about it.
I mean, actually, I just had a fallout with the wife, as was, you know, about the kids.
Oh, that's all right.
Look, would you mind sorting out your private lives elsewhere? Some of us are trying to study, you know?
Sorry, my fault. Sorry, everyone.
I meant it, mind, about keeping your prejudices to yourself.
Oh, I think you were quite right. As long as you watch yours as well.
Come again?
The wife as was. Do you know, I can imagine Graham calling me that. Like some naff ornament he threw out when he'd moved on to bigger and better china dolls.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how I feel about the
wife as was.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Quit, say.
Okay, quit. Anyway, look, this is a bit urgent. You need to go and get some business cards printed.
Eh? Why exactly?
Because you're going to be my front man, Bullivant Security Services.
Eh?
You see, this Sikh fella thinks his job's too dangerous for a woman, but I need the work.
Wait, hang on, slow down. Bullivant Security Services.
He put his hand on my arm. I didn't feel the slightest bit... Liar. Rosie, you've got far too much to worry about already without overcomplicating your sex life. I just hope Martin knows how to handle it with Mr. Cador.
And you know Mrs. Monaghan well, do you?
Oh, well, we bump into each other, you know, being in the same line of work kind of thing, so...
So, what are you proposing to do?
We'll talk about the details later on, Mr. Cader. Or may I call you,
Beer Khan. My friends call me BK.
BK? Martin. What I think we need to talk about first, BK, is not giving in to these people, right?
Right.
So, I think you should open the shop up again. Don't let them make you hide in the back here from the world, right?
Right. But if this man returns...
He's coming back for his answer on Thursday, yeah?
Thursday, yes.
Well, he won't want to show his face till then. Well, what you can see of his face behind this balaclava thing. And if he does do anything he wants, agree with him till we nail him. Meanwhile, put under offer on the for sale sign so you can tell him you're thinking about what he said.
Oh, it's very reassuring to talk to Mr. Martin. Yeah, Mrs. Monaghan meant well, but this business is man's work, isn't it?
I just hope Martin's doing the business. I mean, he hasn't got much of, like, an air of authority, has he? He was there a long while, anyway. I had to give up on him and go and get Carol from school. There was something niggling at the back of my mind. Something important that had happened outside the Cadors. A vital clue. It only came back to me when I was pumping Carol about the local fuggos.
Billy Laverty. Yeah, and he's all right, but he hangs about.
Any luck with Bess, Rosie?
Bess?
Well, you haven't forgotten, have you?
No. No, of course I haven't. In fact, I'm following up a lead right now. Come on, Carol.
Where are we going?
Mum, what are you doing?
Well, it's been nagging at me. When I came to see Nim's mum before, and I was standing in the backyard...
Hey, do you hear it?
You what?
It's just a cat.
And I'm hoping it's kind of black all over, except for some white spots on her soft little tummy and... Here. Kitty. Kitty. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that's Bess, all right. Oh, God.
I'm going to open the shop up right now.
I'll be in touch later.
Mr. Bullivant, good afternoon.
Mrs. Monaghan, what's happening?
I was just after a stray cat. Excuse us, gents. After it, Carol.
But why?
Follow that cat, girl. Come on.
And you let him off the stand. He's too dangerous for a woman.
We need the work, love. We need the money.
Sometimes principles are more important than money, though.
I know I've said that to you, love. But...
Rosie, it's all right. Look, my little Bess is safe and sound now.
Yeah, I know. I found her for you.
Get off. She just came back in through the flap. Didn't you, my little one? And isn't Foggy Woggy pleased to see
you? No, you see, she was trapped in the outside toilet behind the Cador shop, and I let her out, and I was bringing her, but she leapt out of my arms, didn't she, Carol?
Yes, ma'am.
Come off it, Rosie. That's an awful trick, that is, watching the cat come back home, then claiming the reward.
Hey, are you calling me a liar?
Ma'am.
The cat fits, Rosie. And I'm surprised at you getting your daughter to come and back up your ridiculous story.
It's not ridiculous. Hey, don't you shut the door on me, you!
Ma'am, there's children present.
Let's go and see what Martin's been up to. I'll be claiming my rewards in heaven, Peggy Reese.
I still think you should have said women are just as good as men to Nim's mum.
Carol, I'm not debating this anymore. Martin and I have got work to do, haven't we, Martin?
Oh, yeah.
Meaning go to your room, Carol. All right.
Oh, and Carol, not a word to your mate Nim about Martin being my front man, okay? Okay?
Okay.
So it looked like you were getting on okay with Mr. Cadour.
Me and BK were like that. Well, I thought we should start off with the kids, right?
Find out
from them who paid them to put these petrol-soaked rags through
Martin?
The door with this note that... What? What's the problem?
You are just the front man for this operation, right?
Yeah, right. No problem. Well, I just wanted to pass on my ideas, like...
The management have noted your suggestions with interest. Hey, I think we need Bob in on this one. Bob, down here!
What?
Now!
Okay.
Why do we need Bob?
Because if either of us marches round to Billy Laverty's and asks to see him, his mother's going to want to know what's going on, isn't she?
How do you know we need to see Billy Laverty?
I keep my ear to the ground, Martin. Bob, where are you?
Come in.
So Bob's going to go round pretending to be his mate?
While we wait in the back alley.
Only I don't want you to think I was trying to take over.
It's all right. I just got a cob on, that's all. Hey, Bob, where is he?
He won't come. Says he couldn't be seen with you.
Oh, great plan this, leader.
But
what?
He told me things.
What things?
What's it worth?
A clip round the ear if you don't tell me. Oh, all right, and £2 in your Nintendo fund if you do.
The kids are doing things at the singy shop. That's why Billy's staying in. He knows you're showing him
and
with them.
Why are they doing these things?
He doesn't know. This fella comes on a motorbike to where they all hang out. You know, the bommy on Burnham Street. But he only ever talks to Daz. You know Daz.
Washes the world whiter. Yeah, thanks, Bob. You get off home now, eh?
Don't I get cash on delivery?
I've left my handbag at home. Remind me later, all right?
Oh, Matt.
So, that was all hunky-dory. And I was solving the Martin wanting to be leader problem by leading by example. I led him straight to Burnham Street.
Hey, slow down, will you, Martin?
I want to see the whites of this dad's eyes.
No, he'll be with his gang. We shouldn't tackle him when they're all together. We should get him on his own. So whatever they do, don't react, right?
Hey, if it isn't a packy lover...
Hey, lift your lip, Dad.
I thought you said don't react.
Yeah, it's just a bit of local sport, isn't it? Giving a bit of a lip.
Hey, especially if you're pink known as white, eh?
He's got a new friend tonight, eh?
Yeah, we'll catch him on his own tomorrow.
That's what I said.
So stop seeing him, will you?
Hey, there ain't no black in the Union Jack, you know.
You what?
Martin.
Is that right, lad?
There ain't no black in the Union Jack! Hey, I thought we'd agreed.
Lost him the little...
We'll get him on his own in the morning.
How? I bet he doesn't go to bloody school.
No, but he helps out our milkman. Think he can be round at ours by 8? He's usually there just after.
8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Suppose so. Busted half 7. I don't suppose I could... Nah.
What?
Well, sleep on your sofa.
Oh, I would, but There's Jerry and,
okay,
you know...
enough said. Look, I'll see you in the morning then.
Yeah, take care.
Oh, hiya, Jerry. I wasn't expecting...
I let myself in. Like we agreed.
Like we...
I said I'd be round.
So you did. Martin and I were just out on a job.
You left Carol on her own.
Only for a minute. She's all right, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she's all right. Local job, then, was it?
Well, yeah, it's for Mr... Well, I'd better not say. You know them, you see. Client confidentiality and all that.
Surprised you need Martin's help on something local.
Yeah, well, he's like me front man for this operation. Oh, it's complicated to explain.
You like him, don't you?
No. Well, yeah, but... he's a good mate, you know.
I know.
Oh, Jerry, come on. Don't get your knickers in a twist. It was all I could do to say no when he suggested... But I had an early start in the morning and... Oh, poor Jerry. He was that knackered. He went and left his briefcase behind. And I didn't think any more of it then. Had to get me beauty sleep, didn't I? In the morning, all the troops wanted to join in the action.
Are you going to trap him in the backyard, then?
Yeah, like an ambush.
Yeah, totally wicked. And then you're going to do him over, Martin?
Oh, you know, I might give him a couple of reminders of my boxing day.
No, Martin is not going to do him over, are you, Martin?
No, no, perish the thought.
He's at number 14 now, ma'am.
Action stations.
Yeah, action stations. Not a word out of either of you two now. Morning, Daz.
Morning, Daz.
Hey, who are you? Let me out of here. What are you doing?
Just wanted a word, a quiet word, about there being no black in the Union Jack.
It's just on your chance. It doesn't mean nothing.
Now, remind me of the colours on the Union Jack.
Look, he'll be missing me in a minute. Jimbo will.
The colours, Daz.
What are you after?
Rosie.
Red, white and blue, isn't it?
That's it. Now there's white. That's you, Daz. Getting whiter by the minute.
Just tell me what you want.
We want to know the name of the fella that put you up to stuffing rags through letterboxes.
I don't know his name. Really, I don't.
So that's white. Your face. Then there's... Do you know what the colour of the blood inside your veins is, Daz?
It's red, of course. Red. Look, I really don't know his name.
Now, that's where you're wrong, Daz. It's blue. The blood inside your veins and arteries.
I don't know his name. He always wears this motorbike helmet thing, honest.
Honest? You don't know the meaning of the word.
Blue blood. That's its colour. Unless someone cuts you. Then it hits the air and goes red. Did you know that, Daz?
No, I didn't.
Oh. Moore should go to school more, shouldn't he?
The name of the fella on the motorbike, Daz.
I don't know it. I don't know it.
Before the blue turns to red on white.
Oh, he's coming back tonight. That's all I know. Honest. Honest.
Honest.
He's coming to the bombing. You know, where we all hang out.
Right. So be there tonight, eh? Without a word about our little chat. Have you got it?
I've got it, mate. Yeah. Yeah, I've got it. You were great, Martin.
Yeah, you showed that big bully.
I'm really not keen on the strong arm stuff, Martin.
It worked, didn't it?
Well, yeah,
ah,
but...
Silly me. Oh, yeah, I left my briefcase last night. Oh, hi.
Hiya, Jerry. Yeah, I thought of bringing it round last night and then...
You're here early, Martin.
Yeah, well, we had a job to do, you know.
Yeah, you missed all the fun, Uncle Jerry.
Evidently.
Martin is the best, right?
Yeah, well, you know, next to your Uncle Jerry, maybe.
Jerry gave Martin one of his weakest smiles. You know, the kind that sort of curdles your lower lip, but can't seem to make it to your upper one, and took his briefcase. Briefcase? Office? It suddenly struck me. I hadn't been into the office all day yesterday. Not that it mattered, because there was bound to be no work.
Where were you, Rosie? I needed someone to go up to Manchester to get some papers.
Sorry, I was tied up.
Yeah. And the new Lonely Hearts rang up.
Oh, God, we haven't had one of them for weeks.
And I tried to call you, but you'd your own phone switched off for some
reason. Oh, call her back, will you? Sorry, Debs. Sorry, Mike. So the Lonely Heart had already found someone else to check out Beef Eater of Bromborough for her, and Mike had forked out a fortune for a courier. And Jerry... Oh, Jerry rang up.
I mean, I'm supposed to be at the Chess Club, but I've got these free tickets, you see.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's a press night, and they like to try and pack the house.
I'm on a job tonight. I'm sorry, Jerry.
Oh. Oh, well. I'll see if someone in the office can use them.
So I got Debbie checking out whether there was some way of identifying known racists, in case we got a good look at this fella tonight, and wondered how Martin was shaping up with Mr. Kadua.
No sweat, BK. Tonight we'll nail him, for sure.
You are very positive.
Ah, you can rely on Bulletin Security Services, BK. Your troubles are over.
And mine were just beginning. Because when Carol and I got home that afternoon, the front door was open. And inside, everything was upside down and...
Mum, they ripped all my Care Bears open.
They didn't take the video or nothing. Just some small change. But they'd made a right mess everywhere. Ripped and scrawled things.
What things, Mrs. Monaghan?
Oh, I've wiped them off.
What did they say?
I know who did this, Constable. His name's Darren O'Rourke, known as Daz. Oh, I don't suppose you'd be able to prove it, though.
And what was it they scrawled on the mirrors?
Nigger lover. Well, those were the only words of more than four letters, if you get my meaning. Got Jennifer across the road to mind the kids, while Martin and I sat in my car staking out the bommie on Burnham Street. I didn't like to leave him, really. Didn't know whether I wanted to get the bastards up or give it all up before it got out of hand.
So now you know how the Cadets feel.
Ugh, is that supposed to be comforting or something?
I'm sorry, Rosie. Couldn't we put the Eton on or something?
No, the engine sounds like World War III's erupted at the moment. It'll be a dead giveaway.
Hey, who's that?
Greasy Gricewell. Surely he can't be the fella in the balaclava.
Greasy Gricewell?
Oh, no, surely. He hasn't got his face covered or nothing. Oh, no, he spotted us.
Who is he, anyway?
Rosie?
Gricey!
Keeping an eye on those kids, I reckon it's...
Get in the car, Gricey!
You what?
In the back, quick! Get down!
But why?
That fella on the motorbike.
What about him?
He's talking to Daz about... Oh, never mind. This is Martin, by the way.
Ah, Arthur. Arthur Gricewell.
We think he's the fella behind these threats the Cadors have been getting.
Hey, that was a quick chat. Start the car, Rosie.
Oh. Well, go on then, Martin.
What do you mean, go on then?
Get out! So you can follow the lad while I follow the motorbike.
No way.
Hey, who's in charge of this operation?
You are, Rosie, but...
Tell you what, why don't I follow the lad?
Yeah, go for it, Gricey.
We'll compare notes later.
But what if we catch him?
I've got a couple of mates on standby, ready, so we can nail these bastards.
Hey, Martin, I don't go for beating people up.
Look, if you don't go for the accelerator soon, we're going to lose them now. Come on, will
you? All right.
Mates are on the way over.
Oh, I don't like it, Martin.
Look, they're very discreet. It'll just be threats, no real action. Anyway, looking at them two.
Hey, I know him from somewhere, not the biker. Camel coat. Where the hell?
So we just sit tight.
I don't like it. Plus, this is the pub Jerry comes in after his chess club.
Get off, he won't come in tonight. Hey, what are you doing with the camera?
Well, that was me plan before you took over. Follow him, photograph him and whoever he met.
That's not going to stop them threatening.
Here.
What?
Make sure you snap him behind me. I'll make something up. Come on, Rosie. Chirp, chirp. You're right there, Queen.
Not bad. Not bad, and you?
First time I've been in a pub for 3 months. Been laid up in Hosie, you know.
Oh, what was it, love?
Oh, don't like to say when there's gentlemen present. Come on, Martin. Take a snap for the ladies back on Guiney Ward. That's it. And another.
Oh, no. Aren't you so well?
Oh, no.
So, this is what you call working, is it?
No, Jerry.
Larking about in the pub with Martin.
Rosie.
Hey, Mr. Liver alone. She's just a sick woman. Oh,
Rosie, there is.
Yeah, sick. That's right. Sick she is. Hey, where do you think you're going?
Jerry, we're on a job. And
oh, yeah, on a job. On the job,
oh,
more
Jerry,
like.
Jerry, it's true. Leave him alone.
There's a man here molesting a sick
stop
woman.
It, please. Stop it. We lost him. Not that that was the worst of me problems. Jerry went off in a sulk. Martin went off in a sulk. Even I went off in a sulk. Back to finish cleaning up the house. And trying to soothe Bob and Carol to sleep. And worrying about the Cadors. The next day was Thursday, the deadline, which the thuggos very kindly reminded us about when me and Mr. Cador were walking the kids to school. I hadn't dared tell him about our house, and Carol was sworn to secrecy. I mean, he still thinks Martin's more than a front man.
I tell you, Mrs. Monaghan, I am not happy.
Look, I'm sure Mr. Bullivant's doing all he can.
No, but last night we received another reminder through the door, and poor Mr. Gricewell... Hey, stop!
Hey, stop! No!
Stop, Agnes!
Stop stopping!
Come back here, you!
Hey! No, Mr. Cadori's coming back! Let her go, you bastard!
Tonight, or next time she gets hurt.
Nim, look. It's all right, he's gone.
Nim, it's all right. Take care. care about his name. What did he say? What did he say?
Rosie, how awful.
So we've got 8 hours to stop them, and all we've got to go on is one blurred photo in a grotty pub.
I did some digging for you. There's this magazine called Torchlight. Keeps some kind of records and National Front people and all that.
Hey, where do I find it?
It's run by some woman out of her attic in McGull. I've scribbled down the address. Here.
I'm already there.
Rosie?
Hey?
She sounds a bit peculiar.
How do you mean?
Not what you'd expect of a lefty. Pretty far back, you know.
Virginia Otwell, but do call me Ginny, everyone does. Now, what can I do you for?
It's these men here. I'm sorry it's a bit blurred. Just a quick one-hour photo, you know.
Not sure about the snooty one in the camel coat.
Yeah, I think I know him from somewhere.
That means nothing to me, I'm afraid. But this thin-faced fella, me lad.
50 if she was a day, but still wearing the ankle socks she wore at school. You know what I mean? It was one of those offices that looked like chaos, but she seemed to know where everything was.
So, how'd you get into this line, then?
Oh, ran away from school when I was 16, fell in with a bad crowd. Socialists, don't you know? Never recovered.
And you run all this on your own?
Oh, I have my sources, but yeah. Basically, it's a one-woman operation. Paid for with Daddy's money. Don't think he would have appreciated the irony.
The irony?
I was a journalist for a while, came across Daddy's name. Supporter of Mosley and all that lot in the 30s. Fascist swine. Sort of find my mission in life, then. Paying society back. Get my meaning?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
No sign of camel coat, I'm afraid. But here's your thin man.
Ooh, Colin Dalton. Got an address?
Oh, should have in the old card index. Ever read that book, The Thin Man?
I think I saw the movie.
Dashiell Hammett wrote the book. Communist, you know. Anti-fascist. Good chap. Here we are. Colin Dalton, alias Dalton Collins. Ha! Such inventive brains these clothheads have. What? Breach of the Peace, 83. Criminal damage to a left-wing bookshop, 86, etc., etc. Last known address?
Quiet suburban house. Rockery in the front garden. For sale. Whitewash on the windows. No sign of Colin Dalton. Dead end. 6 hours to go. Now what? Needed to get together with Martin. He wasn't at home or the library. My trusty old Minnie finally broke down in the library car park. Had to get the bus home. Tried to get through the usual shortcut, the yard of the derelict school behind the Cadors, but it was all fenced off. Sold, said the notice. That started me thinking. Hey, maybe. Popped in to see how the Cadors were getting on, while I wondered about my new thoughts.
Ah, Rosie, you come to see your friend.
Oh, I'm glad you think of me that way, Amy.
No, your friend, Mr. Bullivan.
Oh, he's more of a business acquaintance than a friend.
Oh, this is good. He's in the back with my husband now. PK is not pleased.
You said our troubles were over.
Yeah,
you said you would nail these people last night.
Yeah, well, if it hadn't been for circumstances beyond my control.
Poor Mr. Griswell was nearly beaten up by these youths. And where were you?
Well, I was in...
This morning my daughter was nearly kidnapped. And where were you?
Well, we was at the...
You said I could rely on you. You were wrong. Get out of my shop.
But, Mr. Canal. I'm going. Mrs. Monaghan, please.
Oh, Mr. Cador. I'm sorry. I recommend you to
fella. It's not your fault, Rosie.
Was Gracie all right?
No thanks to your friend there.
Hey, I tell you what. Why don't I go after him, see if I can pick up the pieces?
No. I tell you, it's too dangerous.
I'll give it a go, though, eh? Martin, wait.
I'm never going to work with you again.
You shouldn't have made promises to the man. But the question is, why?
Why am I giving up? You just saw how I was...
No, why? Is this fella hassling the Cadors?
To get a shop cheap, of course.
A shop that only makes a decent income if it's open from dawn till dusk. I don't see our Colin Dalton as Mr. Open All Hours somehow.
Who's Colin Dalton when he's at home?
The fellow who's been hassling the Cadors, the fella on the motorbike.
How do you know that?
I'll tell you on the way to the planning department.
The planning department? Why are we going there?
I'll tell you that after I've told you about Colin Dalton.
George. I'm not with it. This is a plan of...
The proposed development of a new warehouse club at the junction of...
school, Martin? The old Duncan Street school behind the Cadors place.
So what? What's a warehouse club when it's at home?
It's, basically a form of retail outlet, pioneered in the United States.
It's a big shop, Martin, where they were supposed to be building houses, weren't they?
The local plan has recently been revised, actually, in the light of a reassessment of available resources.
Meaning? There's no money for places to live, but there's pots of it for more friggin' shops, right?
You may be right. I couldn't possibly comment.
I can't get this map, though. Which way's north?
It's that way.
Even I can see that, Rosie. You just have to look for the big end.
Oh, shut up, you, and look for the Cador shop, then. Hey, there it is. Under that dotted line.
That's a road, actually, that dotted line.
No, it's where our corner shop is.
On the proposal, it's an access road. You see, the main road here couldn't support the volume of traffic, so the developer's proposing to
put a road through the Cadair shop. I get it now.
Well, that's a new way of having drive-in shopping.
I think they might be thinking of demolishing the shop first, dear.
I think I'd work that out for myself, thanks, dear.
Outline planning application by Clubstore Holdings PLC.
What's the address?
Warrington.
Hey, let's get over there now. Oh, thanks for all your help, dear.
Don't mention it.
Clubstore Holdings PLC.
Yeah, I need to know who's behind it pronto.
Well, it'll take a day or two.
I need it in an hour or two.
Rosie, that's out of the question.
I'll phone you when the train gets us to Warrington, all right?
No, it's not all right.
But he was ready with the business when I phoned him up. Clubstore Holdings PLC had two directors, Sophie Gregson and her husband, Malcolm Gregson. Ha-ha, now I had the name. I knew where I'd seen him before. Hadn't I heard of Malcolm Gregson lecturing me the other week about...
Investment! That's what this area needs. Years of socialism have run down the inner city. What we need are entrepreneurs, men with vision and money to spend.
Ah, yes. I called him from the station. Mr. Gregson was in the meeting but could call back later. The company was based in a Ponzi office block just out of town.
Well, we don't even know if it's the same guy.
No, we don't.
So this is a hunch, right?
It's a reasonable deduction from the information at our disposal.
And what are we going to say to the guy if it isn't?
We'll improvise. Follow my lead. I mean, we haven't done very well following yours, have we?
If your Jerry hadn't got in the way last night...
Hey, let's save the recriminations till later, eh? Yes, can I help you?
Yes, Detective Monaghan, and this is Martin. Now, is the man in this picture Malcolm Gregson?
Yes, but...
Yeah, through here and to the right, is it?
To the left, but he's in conference.
Tracy's lad in the 330, aye. Doubled with back to basics in the 405. Who the hell are you, barging in here?
Rosie Monaghan. And this is my associate,
I don't
Martin
care.
Bullivant.
All right. No, I am not all right. Just a moment. Yeah, that'll be all for now. Yeah. Barging in here. Hello. Security.
I wouldn't do that if I was you.
Don't you threaten me.
Mr. Gregson, Malcolm, I've come to talk to you about a little shop.
I don't deal with strangers who come into my office threatening me.
Oh, no. You just employ people like that to threaten people for you. Like Colin Dalton.
Colin Dalton?
You know the name, then?
It may be familiar. Okay, I'll give you 5 minutes.
No, Mr. Gregson, I'll give you 5 minutes. 5 minutes to tell Colin Dalton not to visit the Cadors again.
What are you talking about? The Cadors? Who are these people?
People frightened half out of their wits by you.
No, you got me wrong. I'm not into frightening people. I'm into serving them.
Ah, so I see. The framed mission statement. Our mission is to serve people, our employees and our customers, by providing quality and value for money at all times. Oops! Sorry, I've dropped it.
Now, look here.
Martin, will you stop that? Now, you look here, Mr. Gregson. Colin Dalton has, on your behalf, made...
Nobody acts on my behalf.
Colin Dalton has, on your behalf, made a derisory offer for a shop owned by Mr. and Mrs. Cadour.
What shop is this, exactly?
It's next to a derelict school, Duncan Street, subject of a planning proposal by Clubstore Holdings, PLC.
Ah.
Ah. A planning proposal that requires the demolition of a shop.
Look, you've got it half right. Although, now I come to think of it, the name Colin Dalton is unfamiliar to me, nevertheless...
Don't you lie to us, mate.
No, Martin, let the man have his say.
Nevertheless, one of my agents had noted that the shop had recently gone up for sale, and I am indeed about to make an offer for it. If Mr. and Mrs. Cadour don't like the very reasonable offer I'm about to make, they're at perfect liberty to refuse. That's market forces, Rosie. I respect market forces.
You respect nothing, you don't.
And the name Colin Dalton is unfamiliar to you?
Absolutely.
Well, who's the man in this picture, then? Tall and see you. Kind of friendly-like.
Ah.
Ah.
The woman making a scene and the man taking the photo. Still, it doesn't prove anything.
What? Oh, come on, let's get out of here.
No, hang on. It doesn't prove anything, Mr. Gregson. But it'd be terrific publicity, wouldn't it, eh? For your new warehouse club. for your new political career. Malcolm Gregson, Managing Director of Club Stores PLC, candidate in the forthcoming election.
All right.
Seen here with a prominent member of the British movement.
Yes.
Who was convicted of racial violence several times in the last 10 years.
All right.
All right, what exactly?
I've been thinking about this for some days, and I've decided that Duncan Street isn't quite right for a development by Club Stores PLC. So, I shall be taking no further action in respect of the shop you've mentioned, owned by the Kadua family. Will that do you?
Will that do us? Martin still wants to break something. Something anatomically linked to Malcolm Gregson. While I was trying to drag him out of there, Gregson gave it one last shot.
In return for my withdrawal, Rosie, I would appreciate that photograph and the negative.
Oh, I'm sure you would. But I think a cash settlement would be more appropriate, don't you?
So, you respect market forces too, eh? £20.
Add a nought to that, and it's yours.
£200?
Done. I'll have to come back, though. I haven't got the negative with me. Well, it's been a pleasure doing business with you.
It's been a pleasure doing business with you.
ABK, she was dead cool.
I am very grateful.
I told you it wasn't as dangerous as marriage, didn't I? Here, I have something for you.
What's this? Bindi.
Three ochres alive.
First installment. I'm so relieved we can feel safe again.
Yes, and do you know the amazing thing? Another fellow saw the for sale sign and made me an offer. 5 times what this Gregson was going to pay. Nice jam. Seek.
Oh, you're not taking the offer, though, are you?
Well, it's very tempting. Double what we paid for the place 2 years ago. We're thinking about it.
Oh, well. At least there'll still be a good local shop here.
No, this man wants to knock the shop down. Make a road or something.
So much for supporting your local shop, eh? Oh, well. The Cadors were safe anyway. They still haven't decided whether to sell. And my building society got 2 months' mortgage repayments, so they were happy too. And Carol got to walk to school without her nagging mam again. But the thugs all got away with it. Yeah, even that Colin Dalton. I mean, I couldn't prove he was the fella on the motorbike, could I? So he was free as air. Or so I thought, till I saw this bit in the Echo a week later. Martin came round for a bit of tea and I showed it to him.
Hey, you seen this, Martin? A Tubrook man was today recovering in hospital from a vicious and apparently unprovoked attack in the city centre last night.
Streets aren't safe nowadays.
Colin Dalton, 31, was apparently leaving the Green Man public house when he was set upon by a mob of youths. Police are appealing for witnesses.
It's terrible, isn't it? People look the other way nowadays instead of being responsible citizens.
You wouldn't happen to be responsible for this, would you?
What did you say the fella's name was again?
You heard. Martin. I don't like solving things by violence.
No? But you like a bit of danger, don't you?
Martin, put your hand back where it belongs. This minute. I mean it now.
Do you?
Yeah. Yes, I do. And about the violence, too. I mean that. I hate it. I do mean it. Really. About the hand, even though me and Jerry aren't exactly. About the violence, too, I still mean that, don't I? Even though Daz O'Rourke got off scot-free for doing over our house, because there was no proof, no real evidence. I've seen Daz hanging out on the bommie. He still delivers our friggin' milk. I glare at him, but what good is glaring? I'd like to smash a bottle or two over his skull. What good would that do, Rosie? None. I wish that solving cases didn't sometimes leave me feeling so helpless. And a little bit more afraid.
That was The Front Man, the third of 4 unofficial Rosie stories by Alan MacDonald. Rosie was played by Paula Wilcox, Carol, Helen Roberts, Bob by Dominic Groundsell, Martin, Paul Barber, Jerry, Christopher Bramwell, Mike, Steve Hodgson, Debbie, Barbara Dryhurst, Mr. Kadur, Lyndon Gregory, Mrs. Kadur, Nina Wadier, Daz, Peter Kenny, Billy, Tom Bevan, Gregson, Gavin Muir, Mr. Gricewell, Don McCorkindale, Peggy Rees, Margaret John, Ginny, Tina Gray, WPC, Deborah Berlin, and the West Indian Man and the Planner, Don Warrington. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The music was composed by Peter Howell of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Unofficial Rosie is directed by Tracy Neal.